ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Steaming out, back, back, back in the Beamer's out. Seems as out, plans to get a grant, to go off to college and pan to even out. We need it now, we need a town, we need a place to pitch, we need a mound. Now I'm just a lazy boy, daydreaming in my lazy boy. In the cloud of smoke, and the plane is Marvin. Mama forgive me, should be thinking about Harvard. That's too far away, niggas are starving. Nothing wrong for aim, just gotta change the target. I got dreams, a bag of Snitto, the size of pillows. I see pies every time my eyes glittles. I see rides, sixes, I gotta get those. Life's a bitch, I'm hoping I make a overdose.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 150 of the report, and right now we rocking out to some Jay-Z, man. American Gangster, American Dreamin'.
I see the lights right there, and it seems right there, and it's not quite near, and it's not like we're professionals moving the decimals. Know where to cop, nah, gotta connect, no. Who in the F knows how to be successful? Need a personal Jesus. I'm in Depeche Mode, can say celestial. Song stars is like Tony DeRusso. How you play the cards, you ain't fucking with me.
Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed. Once again, this is episode number 150. 150 of the Span Report. I am your host, Mr. Span. We do this every Sunday and Thursday night here on YouTube. You can also catch the Span Report on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio and or Google Play and or what's another one? Podbean, Pocket Cast, wherever your podcasts are available. You chances are you're pretty, you can pretty much find the Span Report there, right? So yeah, man, we are doing this tonight. This is not only All-Star Sunday night, but it's also Walking Dead Sunday night. So we got to get the show in early because your man Span do want to watch The Walking Dead live. So you can basically count on this being done before 9 o'clock. All right. So yeah, we got a lot to talk about, but we got to beat that Walking Dead start time. We gotta catch that real talk. But before I get into everything news and Span Report, we got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us here at the Span Report. Let your voice be heard, man. Go ahead and hit us up at the hotline. Area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play those messages on the show and respond in kind. You can also email me here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. I will read those emails, of course, here live on the show and respond to those emails live on the show here as well. You can also chop it up with me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead, follow me there, man. Chop it up with me throughout the week and we can talk about whatever it is that's going on in the world, man. Go ahead and follow me there. Also, Subscribe to the show here on YouTube, man. You can check the show out live, participate in the chat room, call into the live phone lines when we open those phone lines up. Go ahead and subscribe to the show on YouTube, man. It's the Span Report on YouTube or Span TV. Either one will pull me up. And you can go ahead and you can watch these shows live and participate in the live show as well. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. You can go there, watch the podcast there. You can watch all of the videos that I use on the podcast there. You can listen to the podcast there. You can vote in the polls. Right now, we got our all-time greatest hood movie poll. The final four is up. So you can go there and vote there and let us know what your greatest hood movie, your favorite hood movie of all time is. All the polls are available there. You can donate to the show on thespanreport.com. Everything is available at www.thespanreport.com. So go ahead, do that for your mans, and help the show roll, man. Help keep this ball rolling, because this is a This is something that we like doing here, right? So we want to keep that ball going, right? So, yeah, man, we got that going on. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, like I said, man, we got a lot of stuff to cover. We got a lot of stuff to cover. I mean, I know Thursday I didn't speak at all about the Grammys. I'm going to speak a little bit about the Grammys tonight. I got some random thoughts that I kind of want to, you know, run past you guys, see if I'm the only one who is thinking these things, man. Mexicans, you know, they have some ingenuity, man. They really do have some ingenuity when it comes to getting, when it comes to saying fuck Trump, as we do here at the Span Report, as we say fuck Trump. The Mexicans are also saying fuck Trump in their own special way, man. Some Mexicans are like, yo, man, fuck this dude. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, man. Police unions in Iowa are feeling a little bit betrayed by the Republican Party there. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Southern militias are trying to form up to kind of act as if they're new era versions of the KKK. So we are definitely going to talk a little bit about that. A lot of stuff, man. Nick Cannon, Kyrie Irving. Lot of stuff, man. We got to get into this, man. So without further ado, man, let's go ahead and get right on into the show, man. Real talk. Now, I opened the show, man, and I said, like I said, I got some random thoughts. And these are some, of course, you know, just something that kind of pops into your head or whatnot. And, you know, I'm not immune to that. And one of the things I was thinking about was the, you know, like the origin of names and the commonality of names and stuff like that. And, you know, how we sometimes associate names with certain groups of people, you know, so there are certain names, whether they be ethnic or whether they be, they become commonplace in the American lexicon, right? So one of the things that I was thinking about, man, is like the name Tyrone has become synonymous with black folks. Like you know, a lot of folks kind of like they look at the name Tyrone and they think like it's a black name, sort of like Jerome has become sort of like a black name. And my wife is getting ready to walk through the door and she does not know that I'm recording right now. But hey, baby, how you doing? As she scurries on about because she don't want to be on camera. Okay. But yeah, man, so like I was wondering, man, like do white dudes still like have the name Tyrone or Jerome? And if so, when y'all go to like job interviews, do they look at y'all funny when y'all walk in a job interview and your name is like Tyrone Selensky? Right? Do they look at you funny like, wait a minute, I wasn't expecting this guy, like Tyrone Selensky? How are you, Tyrone? You know, like my dog's name is Tyrone, all right. So like I kind of wonder about that, man, like the association with certain names and how it becomes a thing. Like Jerome, I remember the first time I met a guy, a white dude named Jerome. I used to work for this airline back in the day when I used to live in Chicago, and there was this white dude named Jerome, and it fucked me up. I was like, hold up, like your name is really Jerome? Everybody called him Jerry, but his name was Jerome, man. And it was just one of those things where I was like, yo, man, is this a thing? Like when white folks have supposed, like what we would call now stereotypically black names, are you looked at funny? Like if you go into a job interview, are you looked at like, hey, you are not what I expected when you walked through the door? So I was wondering about that, man. Y'all let me know, man. All my white listeners, man, please let me know if you guys know any, like, Jeromes. Jerry Seinfeld's name is Jerome. I did not know that. Shout out to us. What's that? Mr. Hewitt, man. I'm not going to put out your government, bro. I'm not going to put out your government. Mr. Hewitt, thank you. Jerome Jerry Seinfeld. That's what's up. Because I did not know, man. But I always wondered about that. Like, is that something that, like, white folks kind of, like, do they look at you funny when you come with those supposedly stereotypical black names, man? In much the same way that black folks look funny when they come with a name like, I don't know. Well, no, Clarence is kind of like a black name, too. Let me get off of that, man. Another thing, too, man. Of course, it is income tax season, man. A lot of folks are going out, you know, they're getting their income tax refunds. You know, I wish I was one of them. I no longer receive income tax refunds, man. It is a bonanza, and I wish I was partaking in it, but I am not. But it is income tax time, man, and so folks are, you know, they're buying furniture, they're buying cars, they're putting money into their savings, man. They're doing a whole lot of different things, man. I know a lot of folks kind of associate income tax refunds and tax, people getting tax refunds, and they call them, you know, tax season ballers and all this other shit. We don't do that here at the Spare Report, man. It's that's played. Like, real talk, man. Mind your business. It ain't your money or whatever else, right? But. As we talk about people doing what people do with their money, I did kind of wonder, like, you know, earlier, I want to say, shit, Christmas time, man. During the Christmas season, we saw the Blessing Looms thing kind of, kind of permeating throughout social media, man. Everybody had slots available, man. If you put up this $100, you can get $800. And I'm wondering, man, like, how many of y'all have seen the Blessing Loom pop up for these income taxes, man? Like, real talk, like, you could flip your 5,000 into 40 G's if you go ahead and get into the slots, man. I got these slots available. Hook up, like, look up your boy, man. I'm going to show you how to make a fortune. Real talk. I'm going to take your 5 and turn it into 40 with little to no effort on your part at all, man. Real talk. Have you guys seen any of that lately? I mean, I haven't seen the Blessing Loom since the Christmas time, man. I remember I saw a lot of my friends kind of falling for that shit. We talked about it here on the Spare Report during that time, man. It was around Christmas, and I was saying, man, it's going to be a lot of folks that got burned when it comes to that Blessing Loom shit. And I'm kind of wondering, like, with all the money that's being spent now, of course, everybody now is, like, kind of privy to what was going on. But had it popped up, man. So, yeah, that was one of those things, man. Like, yo, is there a Blessing Loom for the income tax season, man? Let your boy know. Hit me up in the chat. Hit me up on the phone lines later on when I open them up, and we'll talk about that, man. Real talk. Now, something I was talking about, I was kind of talking a little bit earlier, man, about the ingenuity of Mexicans, right? Or some Mexicans having some very creative ways to say, fuck Donald Trump, right? And one of the ways in which they have found to kind of screw Donald Trump over is they have started catapulting. They've got a catapult that are, like, throwing contraband, drugs or whatever else, across the United States border. Let me pull this story up. I thought I had it in my pocket. But Pocket doesn't have it in here. I've been saving a lot of stories to Pocket, and they're not showing up. I don't know what the hell's going on with that. But let's see if we can pull this story up here. Mexicans. Catapult. All right. Let's see if we can pull this story up here. All right. Drug catapults. All right. Okay. This is from MyFox8. And it's taking a while to load here. Okay. So this is in Arizona, man. And this is from Fox, I guess the Fox affiliate in the Arizona area. This says Border Patrol agents in Arizona thwarted some clever drug smugglers and dismantled a drug catapult used to launch marijuana into the United States from Mexico. The catapult was attached to the top of a border fence near the Douglas Port of Entry, which is about 2 hours southeast of Tucson. Customers and Border Protection officials said in a statement Tuesday, the device appeared to be constructed of square tubing and a heavy spring welded together with rope tied around parts of it. The contraption probably wouldn't win many pumpkin chunking competitions, but it was powerful enough to sling 2 bundles of weed, probably weighing a combined 47 pounds, into the United States from Mexico. Agents made the discovery on February 10th when they approached several people near the fence who ran away. They then searched the area and found the drugs nearby. Now, this is one of those things, man. Like, how tall is this wall that Donald Trump is talking about putting up? Because if they could just say, fuck it, we're going to stay on our side and just call some people on the other side who going to catch some shit for us, that wall ain't going to be worth a damn. that wall isn't going to be worth a damn. Not only are they going to just throw shit over the wall, that they can throw shit over the wall, they can use like those, you remember like the, when you go to like a basketball game or something like that, how they got like those t-shirt guns and shit, and they shoot t-shirts around, you know, to the crowd and shit like that. They could use that to shoot bundles of weed if they really wanted to. They're already using tunnels and shit like that to kind of get under the, you know, like whatever fence or wall it is that you're putting up. So how deep do you build the wall? And how tall do you build the wall? And how much money do you think this is going to cost the American taxpayer to do it? It's unfeasible. It's unrealistic. But, and this is one of the prime examples of some Mexican drug lords, man, showing it like, yo, man, whatever it is that you think you're going to do with this border, yeah, we going to get this in regardless. Right? Now, that's not to say that I'm like, you know, I'm for the like smuggling or anything like that, man. Honestly, there's a lot of things that are, you know, like the free movement of people is paramount to me. The idea that everybody associated with Mexico should be hampered by this wall that Donald Trump puts up and insist that the Mexican government is going to pay for is what I push back on, man. It's a stupid idea. It's a racist idea because we don't have these same sort of provisions being made for Canada, right? If you think about it, like if they really wanted to kind of circumvent shit, they can go through the Gulf of Mexico, they can go through the Pacific Ocean, or the drugs can come through our northern border. Stuff happens all the time. We got a whole northern border with a whole other country attached to it, and we haven't heard anything from the Trump administration about whether or not we're going to put a wall up for illegal immigrants or whether or not we're going to put a wall up for illegal contraband, whether it be drugs or whether it be people or what have you. So, yeah, man, fuck Donald Trump and Mexican drug lords and their way of saying fuck Donald Trump did just that with that damn drug catapult, man. Real talk. So I thought that was kind of funny, man. I did. Now, yet another thing, man. Yet another thing. So like today's show is going to kind of be Trump heavy. I apologize to anybody who's listening to the show who are a little weary of the Trump news and whatever else. But at the same time, man, it's so much shit. And it affects so many different things, you know, that, you know, in regards to American life, that I kind of feel like we would be doing a disservice not to kind of talk about this shit here at the Spare Report, man. So I kind of want to, I'm building up to something later on in the show. So just follow me for a minute, man, and we're going to kind of get through this shit together, right? We're going to get this through together. Now, another thing that's kind of happening across the South is that there are pockets of white Christian, conservative, Republican males who have felt that they need to form militia groups or felt that they needed to do some sort of vigilante acts in order to counteract the pushback that is happening not only amongst them, but amongst those who would kind of push back on this whole Donald Trump presidency and what it represents and all of the things that we find wrong with it. Right. And so one of the first things that kind of came up that I was thinking about, they kind of, you know, like kind of grabbed my attention. There's a story that came out of Tennessee, and there's this story here comes out of the Huffington Post, and the Huffington Post reports that a Tennessee man was found guilty on Thursday of plotting in 2015 to round up a militia and burn down a mosque, school, and cafeteria in the upstate New York community of Islamburg, which is home to a mostly Muslim population. Robert Duggart, 65, was convicted in U.S. District Court in Chattanooga of soliciting to commit arson and violate civil rights, as well as making a threat in interstate commerce, the Department of Justice said in a written statement. Attorneys for Duggart did not immediately respond to requests for comment. Duggart was arrested by the Federal Bureau of Investigation agents in April of 2015 after telling a government informant in wiretapped phone calls that he planned to recruit a militia and travel to Islamburg, about 145 miles northwest of New York City. The group planned to burn down the community's mosque and shoot anyone who tried to stop them, according to the criminal complaint. The defendant sought others to join him in a violent attack on a community of men, women, and children because of their religion, acting assistant attorney General Tom Wheeler said in a statement. Defense attorneys argued that in court that Duggart had exaggerated his intentions to attack Islamburg after being encouraged by the informant, and that he never had a solid plan in place, the Chattanooga Times Free Press reported. Now, Some would ask, like, okay, Span, that happened in 2015. He was arrested in 2015. What does that have to do with Donald Trump? Donald Trump started running for president in 2015. Donald Trump actually started his campaign disparaging Mexicans, and they're bringing their drugs, they're bringing crime, they're bringing their rapists, their murderers, not their best people, and I guess some of them are okay. Then he also decided to disparage an entire religion by talking about he's going to battle ISIS, and we got to start, you know, we got to put this Muslim ban in place. We got to start this extreme vetting. All of this started during the campaign of Donald Trump, right? All of these sorts of, all of this rhetoric started ramping up under the campaign of Donald Trump. And so here's someone who decided that the religion of Islam is to be done away with, is that it has no place in the American society, and decided that he was going to go and attack a group of people simply because of how they, of what they believed, of who their God was, right? These sorts of attitudes, man. Like, and not only that, this is one of those things where, like, we talk about terrorism, right? We talk about terrorism and how terrorism affects, or better yet, how we recognize what terrorism is. And usually when we talk about terrorism, terrorism is only associated with brown people, and it's only associated with, with Muslim people or people who practice the faith of Islam. And so we don't associate this as a terrorist act or a plot to commit a terrorist act. A lot of times they just try to chalk this up to it was a lone wolf, right? It was a one-off kind of thing. You know, white people don't involve themselves in these sorts of things, right? We kind of only reserve the act of terrorism to those of color and those who attack America, not those who attack marginalized people within America. They don't get that designation. They get called lone wolves. They get talked about. Their mental capacity is somehow questioned. Like, well, he had to be crazy if he's a white man and he's doing this sort of stuff, right? That sort of thing is kind of like being trumpeted up and being pumped up over the course of the last 18 to 20 months during the campaign and now the presidency of Donald Trump, right? So, you know, this is one of those things, man. It's one of those scary things where we're seeing more and more incidents like this, right? Because this isn't the only one. This isn't the only one. There was another story where is it? And it's not in my pocket. Jesus Christ, pocket. What the fuck is going on? Okay, let me see if I can pull this up on my Facebook, because I know I talked about it on Facebook earlier this week as well. So let me see if I can pull this up really quick for you guys. And this kind of blows, man. This kind of blows. Okay, and now this is taking forever to load. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And I hate when this happens, man. This is like kind of fucking up my flow. Okay. Where is it? Oh, okay, that isn't it. And that isn't it. Hey, this kind of sucks. This kind of sucks. I can't find it. Wait, that isn't it either. We're almost there, I think. Here we go. Jesus Christ. All right. Now, this story here involves a man. This is from the NBC affiliate in, I believe this is Charleston, South Carolina. This is Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And this story comes out of Myrtle Beach. It's a man by the name of Benjamin McDowell. Now, Benjamin McDowell, as a matter of fact, let me see if I can pull up his picture and you guys can see Benjamin McDowell. Let me pull this up and show you guys who Benjamin McDowell looks like. There we go. Wait. Okay. Never mind. Let's not do that. A whole lot of shit going wrong over here tonight. But basically, the story reads like this. A man with connections to a white supremacy group was arrested in Myrtle Beach Wednesday after purchasing a gun from an undercover FBI agent, apparently intending,
on top of breaking news.
apparently intending to commit an attack in the spirit of Dylann Roof. As a matter of fact, shit, let's just go ahead, let them go ahead and report this story. Check this out.
Tonight at 6, the mother of the Conway man, we were the first to tell you, investigators believe, had plans to carry out an attack in the spirit of Dylann Roof, just released a comment about his arrest. She did not want to talk on camera, but did say she thinks her son Benjamin McDonald is guilty, that she loves him very much, and that she hopes the community does not judge her family on this. This is brand new, a picture here of McDowell taken when he was booked into the Florence County Detention Center following a court appearance this morning.
Lisa Grushy broke this story for us and joins us live at Temple Emmanuel now. Lisa? The rabbi here can't say too much right now, but what he can say is that he's certainly thankful this synagogue is safe tonight and takes his hat off to investigators. A link to this synagogue's website was mentioned in a Facebook message McDowell posted the day after Christmas, reading, "I love, love to act. What you think?" Yesterday, FBI officials made contact with and arrested Benjamin McDowell at the Hampton Inn at Broadway at the Beach. They say they found both a gun and ammunition on him. An affidavit detailing the investigation shows the FBI had been following McDowell for several months via social media and undercover contact. The affidavit highlights numerous posts from McDowell's Facebook page pledging allegiance to white supremacy groups while also challenging them to follow in convicted church shooter Dylann Roof's footsteps. In one post, investigators say McDowell wrote, quote, "I'm wanting to do this expletive and I got hard to do this," going on to say, "I want something where I can say I expletive did that, me, personally," then saying he would write, quote, "in the spirit of Dylann Roof" on the building. McDowell went before a judge at the federal courthouse in Florence this morning. We were the only news station in that courtroom where he was asked if he understood his charges in federal court this morning. His answer was yes. McDowell has his second appearance in court on Tuesday. Right now, he's federally charged with felon in possession of a firearm or ammunition. He's being held at the Florence County Detention Center tonight. Reporting live in Myrtle Beach, Lisa Grushy, WMBF News.
All right. Now, yet again, another lone wolf, supposedly. Person who decides that they want to attack those marginalized groups, whether they be black, whether they be Jewish, whether they be Muslim, whether they be someone other than a white male Christian conservative, right? Whole lot of different instances like this happening across the country, man. And so you start wondering, at what point do people start connecting the dots? Be like, okay, like, this sort of rhetoric and the vitriol that is coming from the right, it is emboldening so many of these people to do a lot of fuck shit, and we're not really getting the accountability that we would want from someone of, say, for instance, a Donald Trump, so to speak, right? Of course, he's not gonna even talk about this, right? Donald Trump is too busy talking about everything being fake news. Everything's fake news. I'm guaranteeing that every last one of these people that we talk about tonight, especially of this ilk, voted for Donald Trump, voted for him. I can pretty much bet my check on it that these sort of people voted for Donald Trump, right? Which is why it's so confusing to a lot of us when we see like minority folks. Like a Steve Harvey, like a Kanye West, like a Ray Lewis, like a Jim Brown, like a certain unnamed artist who decided to put a dress on at the fucking Grammys, who nobody knew who the hell she was before then, right? So you got these instances of these white people who feel as though sharing the pie. Right. Well, better yet, not even sharing the pot, leveling the playing field, having equal opportunity, having equal legislative, equal financial, like just leveling of the playing field, like as if being on equal playing fields with folks means less rights for them. Right. Like if everybody else had the same amount of rights as they get, then somehow that means they got less rights. And that's not how this works. That's never been how it works. Right. So that's going on, man. And there was another story, but I don't even want to waste time like trying to look for it, because a lot of my shit that I've been saving on this on Pocket this week for whatever reason isn't hasn't actually been saved. But yeah, man, it's like so many different instances of these white vigilante groups or these white lone wolf individuals who feel as if they have to strike out and they have to attack those who do not believe what it is that they believe, those who do not follow the values that they value, like that they have to kill them. Right? Now, you hear a lot of folks on the right talking about the rhetoric of the left and how it's so divisive and all these other things, but none of these people on the left are actually plotting to kill anybody. This is dangerous. Nobody's doing what they're doing over there. And they play as if, you know, like everything is, everything has like equal value. We all have equal value. Like all opinions have equal value when they do not. Some opinions are rooted in false information. Some opinions are rooted in bullshit. So we have to have some sort of common decency in recognizing that, at least you would think. But in the ways in which we've become kind of conditioned to think about a lot of things, man, everybody thinks, and that maybe even includes me, but everybody thinks that they shit is the shit. And if you're not following my shit, then your shit ain't shit. Right? So, yeah, man, this is some scary shit. Like, to think that there are so many different instances, and I didn't cover a whole hell of a lot of them, and I could, but I don't want to drag this on. But to think that there's so many of these different sorts of plots being foiled or these plots being even hatched because of the fact that folks want equal protections under the law and they want their president to represent that for them. It's scary, man. It's really scary. Real talk. Now, another thing that was interesting that happened over the course of the last few weeks, man, is the fact that there are police officers in, I believe this is Iowa, police officers in Iowa who voted overwhelmingly for Republican candidates. They voted for Donald Trump overwhelmingly. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that, of course, Donald Trump was talking about, you know, he's going to be the law and order president. He's going to have the law enforcement's back. And, of course, law enforcement feels like they're being unfairly targeted. Law enforcement feels as if they are being unduly castigated and their job is being criticized in unfair ways, when the vast majority of the criticism is just that you do your job the right way and that you treat all citizens the exact same way, or that you treat all citizens with some level of respect, or that you treat all citizens with the same care that you do with our white counterparts, right? We only asking for equal opportunity and equal protections, equal protections under the law. And for a lot of police officers, that was a bit too much. That was a bit too much for them to kind of grasp. So they voted. Wait. God damn it, I'm trying to find these articles, man, and I can't believe why. Jesus Christ, man, I can't believe all of my shit is, like, not saved. But there's, where is it? That's not it. And that's not it either. Okay. Here's what we're gonna do. Because this is kind of like, This is kind of fucking up my show tonight, man. Like, all right, here's what we're going to do, man. We're going to talk about the shit that I know is saved. And that's just pretty much what we're going to do. So this is how we're going to do this, man. As a matter of fact, while we're doing this, I'm going to open up the phone lines. Area code 313-288-0485 is area code 313-288-0485. You can call into the show now. And we could chop it up, and we could talk about not only Donald Trump, but we could talk about the Grammys. We could talk about The Walking Dead, and we can talk about the All-Star Game. But we are going to talk about some more of this Donald Trump shit, unfortunately. I just don't know what the hell happened with Pocket, to where a lot of the stories that I wanted to talk about with you guys this week were not saved. So while we're doing that, let me go ahead and pull this up. Because this is pretty much what I was trying to build up to. But all right. So There was a story that came out this week with the New York Times. And it was, as a matter of fact, I believe the story came out today. And the story was about Trump voters, right? And how they are feeling about their support of Trump, how they're feeling about America's reaction to their support of Trump and those who did not support Donald Trump, so to speak, right? And in this story, after I read this story, it was kind of like, you would have thought that safe spaces, that snowflakes, that being triggered were things relegated to the left, right? And if you listen to a lot of Republican, or if you listen to a lot of right-wing leaning sort of personalities or outlets, you would think that that was something that was relegated to the left, right? But what we're finding out is, man, like, there's so many different people who voted for Donald Trump who are surprised at their ostracization, at their surprised by their marginalization. They're surprised by how folks are or embracing them or not, right? And so we're going to read a little bit off of this this New York Times article. And the Times article was entitled, Are Liberals Helping Trump, right? And so the story starts out, it says, Jeffrey Medford, a small business owner in South Carolina, voted reluctantly for Donald Trump. As a conservative, he felt the need to choose a Republican. But some things are making him feel uncomfortable. Parts of Mr. Trump's travel ban, for example, and the recurring theme of his apparent affinity for Russia. Now, starts off, he's worried about these things now, as if we did not hear about these things prior to the election. He's worried about these things now. He heard about all of these things before the election. Right? So Mr. Medford should be a natural ally for liberals trying to convince the country that Mr. Trump was a bad choice, but it's not working out that way. Every time Mr. Medford dips into the political debate, either with strangers on Facebook or friends in New York and Los Angeles, he comes away feeling battered by contempt and an attitude of moral superiority. We're backed into a corner, said Mr. Medford, 46, whose business teaches people how to be filmmakers. There are at least some things about Trump I find to be defensible, but they are saying, agree with us 100% or you're morally bankrupt. You're an idiot if you support any part of Trump. He added, I didn't choose a side. They put me on one. Now, when you decided that the rhetoric about the Mexicans was okay with you, when you decided that the rhetoric about Muslims was okay with you, when you decided that the law and order and the nationwide stop and frisk was okay with you, despite that actual law being considered unconstitutional and ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court of the United States, when you decided that that was okay with you, that's when you put yourself on that side. Nobody else did that for you. Your vote for Donald Trump was an endorsement of those things. So when folks are looking at you with a bit of contempt, with a bit of disgust, it is because you decided that you were willing to overlook all of these red flags to vote for this dude for the few things that you said you find defensible about Donald Trump. Right? But you feel like you're being ostracized. So he says, the story goes on. It says, liberals may feel energized by a surge of political activism and a unified stance against a president they see as irresponsible and even dangerous. But that momentum is provoking an equal and opposite reaction on the right. In recent interviews, conservative voters said they felt assaulted by what they said was a kind of moral Bolshevism, the belief that the liberal vision of the country was the only right one. Disagreeing meant publicly shamed. Now, There are Republicans, there are some moderate conservatives who also believe that Donald Trump was the worst fucking choice in America for America. This isn't just a liberal thing. There are a lot of folks, it's like I said, there's buyer's remorse for a lot of these folks, right? That's what it is. There's a lot of buyer's remorse for a lot of these Donald Trump voters. And a lot of it is rooted in, okay, I voted for this dude. He's not really what I thought he was going to be, despite the fact that there were some red flags going in, right? I decided to ignore that shit. I spent my vote on him, and now I kind of regret it, but now everybody is telling me how stupid I was for spending my vote on him anyway, right? Sort of like if, you know, you bought a... you know, it's income tax time and you just bought a car with 150,000 miles on it. And people are like, why would you spend $5,000 of your income tax money on a car that has 150,000 miles on it? Same thing. You feel stupid when they bring this up to you, right? Like they calling you like that. That was a dumb move, right? So you feel stupid, and people, and now you're defensive. Like, well, fuck y'all. I did what I wanted with my money. It's my money. You ain't gonna tell me what to do with my money. It's my vote. You ain't gonna tell me what to do with my vote, right? That's pretty much what this boils down to. There's buyer's remorse, and then they don't like the fact that people are telling them, yeah, you were stupid for doing what you did, right? So they go on to say that protest and righteous indignation on social media and in Hollywood may seem to liberals to be about policy and persuasion, but moderate conservatives say that they're having the opposite effect, chipping away at their middle ground and pushing them closer to Trump. Listen, if folks being out there demonstrating, telling you what their concerns are pushing you closer to Trump when you know that their concerns are valid and legitimate, then you are always supporting Trump, man. You're not fooling anybody. You just don't want the criticism. You don't want the ostracization. You don't want to be marginalized. You don't want to be looked at like a goddamn fool. And some of y'all were some goddamn fools. Let's just put it out there, man. Some of y'all were some motherfucking fools. And you don't want to be looked at like that. So now you've... Well, it's in spite of. Now you're just being... You're being spiteful, right? You don't like the fact that people are calling you on your bullshit, and so you're being spiteful, right? Protest and righteous indignation on social media and in Hollywood may seem to liberals to... I already read that part. there was another... let's see. There's another part of this. It says, the name calling from the left is crazy, said Bryce Youngquist, 34, who works in sales for his tech startup in Mountain View, California. A liberal enclave where admitting you voted for Trump is a little like saying in the 1950s that you were gay. They are complaining that Trump calls people names, but they turn into some mean people. Oh, Snowflake. Oh, Bryce. Are you sad? Are you feeling triggered? Do you feel like you're being marginalized? Bryce, how can we put this to you? Nobody cares. This sort of reeks like this whole... they're being mean to me kind of reeks of... Real talk. You sound like you're crying. You sound like you're crying. You sound like you are worried that people are being mean to you when you're... the candidate that you voted for was a mean prick to a lot of folks for a long time. You see, now, how did you come to the conclusion that you were going to vote for Trump after seeing so many people at his rallies beat up black folks, where black women were being pushed around, where an old white man decided he was going to sucker punch a black man as he was being led out of the rally? How did you reconcile yourself with that to think that that was okay and then call yourself being sad because people are being mean to you? Has anybody punched you? Has anybody pushed you around? Probably not, right? Mr. Youngquist stayed in the closet for months about his support for Mr. Trump. He did not put a bumper sticker on his car for fear it would be keyed. The only place he felt comfortable wearing his Make America Great Again hat was on vacation in China. Even dating has become difficult. Many people on Tinder have been warning on their profile, Trump supporters swipe left, meaning get lost. Oh. They probably should have told you, Bryce. A Trump vote might lead to desert dick. You might not be able to get with anybody, especially a woman who is conscious of what a vote for Trump means to them and for them. How do you like you're thinking that, like, okay, people are just going to overlook this glaring fucking character issue. Like, what people don't seem to understand, what a lot of these Trump voters don't seem to understand, is that this is a character issue for a lot of folks. Like, if you are able to overlook all of the bullshit that Donald Trump said during the campaign and all of the bullshit that Donald Trump has been doing since he's been president of the United States, and then decide that you want to come back and be be how do I want to put this? Be normal. or be embraced, and folks find out about your complicity in this shit, nah, man, they gonna pass on you. Like, go ahead, man, beat it. To the left, nigga. To the left, right? So, Mr. Youngquist can't seem to find the date because he voted for Donald Trump. He has Desert Dick, and he's sad about it, right? Now, another thing, too, that's funny about this whole thing is, yo, man, you decided to keep your shit secret because you knew that there's a lot of people who had strong, objectionable feelings about who that dude is and what he represented. And you decided that you were going to vote for him in spite of all of that. And you think that when you came out that folks were just going to be okay with that level of, with that kind of complicity. You knew it was some bullshit going in. So, yeah, that's happening. Let's see. He also says he came out a few days before the election. And I like how they like trying to compare this to being gay, right? Like, he came out and all these other things, man. He came out a few days before the election. On election night, a friend posted on Facebook, "You are a disgusting human being. They were making me want to support him more with how irrational they were being." Mr. Youngquist says, "Now, they're being irrational, but you voted for a man who said Mexicans were rapists and murderers, that we have to ban Muslims from this country, that we have to stop and frisk those who fit the description, although that may be a violation of the Fourth Amendment of rights, and it was deemed unconstitutional by the Supreme Court of the United States." But they're being irrational. They're being irrational. Let's see. "Conservatives have gotten vicious too, sometimes with Mr. Trump's encouragement. But a political action is meant to persuade people that Mr. Trump is bad for the country, then the people on the fence would seem a logical place to start. Yet many seemingly persuadable conservatives say that liberals are burning bridges rather than building them. We are in a trust spiral," said Jonathan Haidt, a social psychologist at New York University. "My fear is that we have reached escape velocity where the actions on each side can produce such strong reactions on the other that they will continue to escalate. It is tempting to blame Mr. Trump's for America's toxic political state of mind. He has wreaked havoc on political civility and is putting American democratic institutions through the most robust stress and tests in decades. But many experts argue that he is a symptom, not a cause, and that the roots go deeper." Now, that may be true. That may be true that this is, you know, these sorts of things. As a matter of fact, yes, that is true. Like, there's a lot of this rhetoric that was being spewed. There was a lot of these sorts of attitudes that were being kind of promoted on the right. A lot of it was fringe, right? I remember, man, doing a video on YouTube years ago, man, around the time that Barack Obama was elected, man, or around the election time. Shit, 8-9 years ago, talking about the normalization of fringe ideals. I may put that video on this episode of the Spare Report, man, so you guys can go ahead and check that out and see for yourself. I talked about that years ago, like 9 years ago, the normalization of a lot of right-wing fringe ideals, and how now we are 9 years later, and these things have led up to a point where Donald Trump is the fucking president of the United States by espousing some of those fringe ideals. It went unchecked for a long time. So, yeah, it's a lot of this stuff that has been going on for a while, and Donald Trump is the culmination of it. He is not the end-all, be-all of it, but he is the culmination of it. He is the end result of a lot of this shit going unchecked, a lot of this bullshit theory, a lot of these bullshit ideals going unchecked. And here he is, president of the United States. Go figure, right? Go figure. Now, here's another person, this woman, Ann O'Connell. 72, she says, "I don't have a problem with protesting as long as it's peaceful, but this is destroying the country." So peaceful protests are destroying the country. No. No. And see, this is the thing too, man. And I see a lot of y'all, I see a lot of folks, man, who talk about protest and who talk about how inconvenient it is for y'all. I see even black folks, man. I'm like, what's marching going to do, man? You know, y'all ain't doing nothing but blocking up the street, man. What if I got to go to the doctor, man? What if I get late for work because y'all out there in the streets and all this other shit, man? What y'all doing, man? And it's like, yo, these are the same people who will be talking about how they stood up for Dr. King and they love everything that Dr. King represented. And, you know, like they'll pimp out Dr. King, like I have a dream. They'll always go to the I have a dream, Dr. King. But most of these people would not even have been on Dr. King's side, man. They'd have been naysayers then, too. Protesting is destroying the country. No, protesting is the voice of the unheard, man. Violence sometimes, but it is the voice of the unheard, and it makes you uncomfortable because your voice is in opposition to the unheard. Your voice is being heard, and if you can keep people marginalized, then so be it. But what's happening now is you're finding yourself being ostracized. You're finding yourself being marginalized to some degree. It's not even to the degree of the people who are protesting it, because they got a lot more to fucking lose than you do. They're dealing with the bullshit that you think is okay, that you think is what's going to make this country great. So Anne O'Connell says, she voted for Mr. Trump. She said, I feel like we are in some kind of civil war right now. I know people don't like to use those terms, but I think it's scary. She's a registered Democrat. She voted for Bill Clinton twice, but she has drifted away from the party over what she said was a move from its middle class economic roots towards identity politics. Now, this is the crux of the issue. Okay. This is the crux of the issue. So, there's a lot of middle-class white folks who resent the fact that the Democratic Party decided that they were going to try to be a coalition group, right? We're going to try to get the gays together. We're going to try to get the blacks together. We're going to try to get the brown people, the Mexicans, the Latinos, the Asians together. We're going to try to get the Muslims together. We're going to get all of these marginalized groups of people, and we're going to try to advocate for them, right? Not in the purest sense of it all, you know, because even the Democratic Party has failed in a lot of instances of this. But what they tried to do was have a broad coalition of different peoples and bringing all of these different peoples together to have this coalition, you know, to have this big voting block, right? And so what happened is you have a lot of white middle class working class voters who feel as though their concerns were being cast aside because minority groups and marginalized groups were being pushed for and their rights advocated for by some of the Democratic Party, right? And it goes to that whole idea of them gaining more rights means less for me, as opposed to them gaining more rights is the same for me. And that's really what this boils down to. So when I know a lot of people, when they talk about Donald Trump not being, you know, like, I'm not racist because I voted for Donald Trump, but then you take offense. You take offense to identity politics. You take offense to people advocating for their needs and their wants for their community, for them to erase who they are. You take offense to that. This is why it boggles my mind when, like I said, when I see people of color deciding that they want to back this Donald Trump shit, right? This is why it boggles my mind, because there's a contingent of folks who flat out resent the fact that black folks, Latinos, that Muslims are having their rights up for debate. Like, why are we even talking about these people? What about my shit? What about my union representation? As a matter of fact, I was getting ready to talk about the unions too, man. I was going to talk about the unions too, because like when I was talking about that, I was getting ready to talk about the police unions in Iowa, and the police unions in Iowa were, they voted overwhelmingly for the Republicans, and the Republicans were trying to, they were doing some machinations in the legislature there in Iowa, where they were trying to separate different groups within the police departments and within the first responders departments to take collective bargaining rights away from certain groups within those unions, right? And so a lot of the union members in those unions were saying, like, yo, man, this isn't what we voted for you guys for. Like, if you take these away from them, then what's to stop you guys from taking that shit, that same sort of collective bargaining away from us? Right? They got surprised that the Tigers were acting like fucking Tigers. Right? So, speaking on the unions, like, there's a contingent of the white working class voter who is a part of a union who doesn't even like the idea of a union anymore. Why? Because there are black people, there are Latino people, there are other marginalized groups, there are other people who don't look like them who are part of these unions now. I had a conversation with a coworker. I'm a union worker. I had a conversation with one of my coworkers. We were riding back home from the job site and we were talking about our union. And he was talking about how he thinks that the union is kind of past its usefulness, right? He says the union, you know, they, you know, there's a lot of guys, man, who like we are in the union and they protect a lot of people, but sometimes they protect people who don't necessarily deserve to be protected. And there's a lot of guys, man, who are out here slacking. There's a lot of guys who are out here who are making a certain wage that they shouldn't be making because we get paid pretty damn good. I'm not gonna even get into that, but we get paid all right. We're not hurting. Right. But he's talking about how, you know, the union was protecting certain people when they really shouldn't be. And so I asked him, I say, well, who is the union protecting that you don't think should have been protected? You know, give me some examples. And we, as he started talking about the people who he thought shouldn't have their jobs anymore, about the people who he thought had fucked up and shouldn't have their jobs anymore, but the union was somehow able to save their jobs for them. That was a example of the union not doing what it was supposed to do, as the union overstepping its bounds, and that sometimes the company does have, you know, the company has the right to fire people. And I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. The company has the right to fire people. But at the end of the day, what the union does is it advocates for the right of the worker. And this isn't an at-will situation where they can fire you for fucking nothing. And it's like, you know what? We don't like you no more. Bye. Right? And now some dude who was making X amount of dollars, say he was making $90,000 a year, now he doesn't have an income because somebody at work didn't like him. And now he has to go back home and he has to explain that shit to his wife because somebody at the job didn't like him. His supervisor didn't like him, so he was without a job, despite the fact that he may have been able to perform the task quite well, right? And so that the idea of the union was a check on unfettered corporate power. Right? That the workers actually had rights in this thing too. And it was ironic that every last name of the people that he thought should have been let go was people that looked like me, brothers, people of color. Despite us both having the knowledge of some of the white folks on our job who are fucked up pretty damn bad, who still got their jobs. Right? It's like you got to have in my job, you have to have a CDL license. You have to be able to drive trucks and have an air brake, be able to drive trucks with air brakes and stuff like that at my job. And there's some guys who don't have that because they've been out getting drunk and shit, right? But they still got their jobs. None of them look like me. So this idea that the unions were protecting certain folks was bothersome to him. Despite the fact that, yo, the union negotiated his wage, the wage that he makes, and they pay him quite well. There's an attitude amongst white working class people that equal opportunity is a detriment to them. And they can't see past it. They can't see past this idea of someone being on an equal playing field with them. And even in this conversation that me and this guy was having, he couldn't see it. Despite me pointing out, like, you know, this every dude that you talked about was black. Every last one of these people you talked about was black. Right? They resent anybody bringing up the fact that, yo, my group is kind of getting fucked with over here. We should probably do something about that. And because that isn't their experience, because they don't know anything about it, yeah, it's a problem, but that ain't got shit to do with me, so fuck them. So the Donald Trump voter, the moderate Donald Trump voter who thought that, yo, I don't really fuck with Hillary like that, but, you know, I can get past, you know, his I can get past his talking shit about Mexicans. I can get past him talking shit about Muslims. I can get past him talking shit about women. And I can get past him actually bragging about assaulting women sexually. I can get past all of these different things. I can actually get past him lying to my fucking face. But I can't. I can't deal with people telling me I'm an asshole. I can't deal with people telling me I'm racist. I can't deal with people telling me I'm homophobic, I'm Islamophobic, that I am xenophobic, all these different things. I can't deal with these people telling me this, man. This is what they're telling us. Like, they're crying out. Like, all of a sudden, these people who talk about the left, like, oh, these snowflakes, they're always triggered. Oh, look at them, they're mad. These liberals are always upset at something. They can't get over people just saying, nah, dude, I don't fuck with you. That's what you did. You voted for Trump, nigga? Like, psh, get the fuck from around here, dog. We ain't fucking with you like that. They can't get over that. It's a level of ostracization they probably never had in their lives. To be told that your decision was probably really, 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 really fucked up. And it may cost you some friendships. It may cost you some relationships because of this decision that you made. And it's not as if you didn't know the gravity of that situation, because we went through it for 18 months, man. A year and a half. Folks were talking about this for a long time. We're still talking about it today. Still talking about it today, man. So, yeah, man, like, that's going on. That's going on. The identity politics they find issue with. And now they're worried about us being so mean to them. They're worried about the left being so mean. Why are you guys so mean? As if they're oblivious to everything that led up to this point today. Everything. So, yeah, man. That is what it is. That is what it is. But, of course, like I said, we do have those phone lines open, so you guys can call in at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Call into the show, man. Let me know what you guys are thinking. Let me know what you guys are thinking about that, man. Real talk. Not only that, man, we got a there was another story that I kind of wanted to talk to before I got into that. But because Pocket wasn't saving a lot of my shit, I was just like, you know what, man, fuck it. I'm going to blow a lot of this stuff up, right? I'm going to blow a lot of this stuff up that I wanted to talk about up. But there was a story that came out, man. Of course, we were talking about the Grammys. I mentioned the Grammys earlier tonight. And there was a story about this woman. What's her name? What is her name? Joy Villa. Okay. Nobody knew who the fuck she was. Let's just put that out there. Nobody really knew who the fuck she was. But this woman showed up at the Grammys with the Make America Great Again dress on, with Chump at the bottom, right? And so she goes on Fox News because apparently, like, after she came out with this, a lot of Chump voters, like, you know, kind of jumped on her bandwagon and started buying some of her music, which is what it really was. It was a ploy for attention. It was a ploy for some sort of publicity. Bottom line, that was it, because like I said, nobody really knew who the fuck this woman was. Every up and down Twitter, everybody was like, who? Like, Mike Jones, who? Like, nobody knew who the hell she was. So Joy Villa went on Fox and after she unveiled this dress, and they asked her about it on Fox. So we're gonna pull this up so you guys can kind of check this out for yourselves. Let me pull this up really quick. All right, and here we go. Check this out.
I voted for Trump, and a lot of my friends did as well. And we felt like we had to be closeted. We had to be quiet about it, or we would face a backlash and bullying. And I just got tired of the narrative of hate. You know, you're racist, you're a bigot, you're this, you're that, people losing jobs, all because they voted for our now elected president.
Now, interesting that she would say that. People are losing jobs because they voted for their president, right? Now, I don't know of any instances of people actually losing their jobs because they voted for Donald Trump, right? That's actually kind of against the law. I don't know of anybody who voted for Donald Trump and came to work the next day and they didn't have a job because they voted for Donald Trump, right? But I do know that because of Donald Trump's his intimidation, his want of trying to, there's his intimidation, and then there is his antagonization of immigrants here in this country, right? And so what the immigrants decide to do, or people of immigrant, or families of immigrants decide to do, is they're like, you know what, we're going to have a one-day protest, man. We're going to have a day without immigrants. So everybody who's an immigrant to this country or who supports immigrants in this country, don't go to work. We're going to show this country what it means to lose these immigrants that they think are a drain on society, that these people who they think are a drain on society actually helps this economy and this country move. And so lots of people lost their jobs. About 60 folks lost their jobs while participating in this particular protest, right? So we're going to get this story out of the Sacramento Bee. And Sacramento Bee reports that in at least 5 states, roughly 60 people lost their jobs this week after they skipped work to participate in the Day Without Immigrants protest on Thursday, according to local media reports. The protest, which was aimed at highlighting the importance of immigrants in the U.S. economy, called on all immigrants to not work or buy anything Thursday and succeeding in shutting down businesses across the country. It is unclear, however, how many people participated in the strike. Still, around 5 dozen people say that their participation in the protest cost them their employment as businesses fired them for not showing up to work. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, 12 Latino workers at the I Don't Car Bar and Grill told KTUL that they were fired over text message because they did not show up for their scheduled shift and did not call in. You and your family are fired. I hope you enjoyed your day off and you can enjoy many more. Love you. The restaurant owner texted one employee, according to screenshots provided to the station. The employees at KTUL that while they expected to be reprimanded for missing work, they did not expect to be fired. However, the owner maintained that the move was not political and was simply a result of the bar's strict no-show, no-call policy. The owner also told KTUL has father told the owner also told KTUL has fired others recently for the same offense. Tulsa Public Radio reports that the restaurant has already started looking for new workers. In King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, 6 workers at Bahama Breeze restaurant were barred from entering the building on Friday after missing work Thursday, a local activist told the Philadelphia Inquirer. As in Tulsa, none of the workers told their boss they would be missing work. The activist later said that the employees had been rehired after people called the restaurant to complain. However, Darden Restaurants, the parent company of Bahama Breeze, disputed the activist's claims, saying that no one was ever fired in the first place, according to Rich Jeffries, a spokesperson for the company. In Nolensville, Tennessee, 18 people were fired from Bradley Coatings Incorporated, a local painting company. According to News Channel 5, the people fired told the news station that they informed their superiors on Wednesday that they would be participating in the protest and that they failed to show up the next day, they were all fired. Bradley Coatings confirmed the firings to News Channel 5 in a statement, but also insisted that the terminations were not a political statement. Now, how is it not? How is it not? When you know what the fuck is going on, let's not play any games here, man. They know what the fuck is going on, right? So meanwhile, singer such and such is on Fox News telling folks that, you know, her friends were being fired for voting for Donald Trump. Her friends were being marginalized. They're being mean to us. There it is again. The people are being mean to us because we voted for Donald Trump, right? This is the level of, like, cognitive dissonance that's going on. Like, she said that, like, this is the level. Okay, let me just go ahead and continue this video. Check this.
And for me, it's more of a platform for love and acceptance and unity for America. So this dress, I was hoping to just make a statement, some small little statement about unity, togetherness, and supporting our president as one unified country.
Good for you. So I understand now you walked in with a robe on, right? And then you took the robe off to show the dress.
That's right.
So people didn't know what you were wearing initially. When they finally figured out what you were doing, did you get backlash from people? Were they mad?
Well, you know, there's always going to be backlash whenever you make a bold statement, whenever you be yourself. And for me as an artist, you know, I want to use my platform to really reach people on the level that I feel is real. And I knew there would be backlash, but the surprising thing is I received so much more of an outpouring of love and support than I ever thought I would receive. In fact, my email is flooded. My publicist's email is flooded with, I support you, I appreciate that, or even, I don't agree with Trump, but I agree with you being bold and making a statement. Thanks for being yourself. So the overwhelming response has been positive.
The overwhelming response has been from Trump voters decided to like, hey, we need to jump on this, right? We need to promote this. We need to prop her up. This is, let's be fucking clear here. This was a promotional stunt. Nothing more. The only reason she's on Fox News right now for this particular video is because supposedly her songs went to number one on iTunes. Trump voters decided, hey, we're going to support this one, right? Most people did not vote for Donald Trump. Most people do not support Donald Trump. This idea that we got to have unity and we got to have respect for the president, like this dude hasn't earned that from the vast majority of the population. So, yeah, man, singer such and such, what's her name? Yeah, I almost kind of wanted to put her in like the special HOTEP unit or something like that, but nah, that was just something. But speaking of the special HOTEP unit, it is that time for us to go to the special HOTEP unit. In the Black community, pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Yonk Right, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as a special HOTEP unit. These are their stories. All right, now, the newest member of the special HOTEP unit is Nick Cannon, man. Now, Nick Cannon is Nick Cannon has kind of been on like a little, he's been a little HOTEP-ish for quite some time now, right? But the reason that I decided to put Nick Cannon in the special HOTEP unit this week was because I saw a story. The story came down my timeline, man. And it was about Nick Cannon. And it was about him deciding to leave America's Got Talent. Now, you guys know Nick Cannon has been hosting America's Got Talent for a few years now. And also, Nick Cannon has, he has just released a stand-up special on Showtime. I don't have Showtime, so I didn't watch it, and I'm not really, you know, Nick Cannon's comedy hasn't ever really been that funny to me anyway, so it's not like I was really pushed to kind of watch that, anyway. But Nick Cannon did a bit during that particular stand-up special where he talked about his employer, right? And in that bit, he talked about, as a matter of fact, I got the quote here. Let me pull this up. He said, "I honestly believe that once I started doing America's Got Talent, they took my real nigga card. They did. Because then the likes of these types of people started showing up to my shows," said Nick Cannon, pointing out white audience members. I can't do the real nigga stuff no more because they'll put me on TMZ, right? Now, he also said some other shit about NBC standing for nigga better come on or some other shit. I don't find Nick Cannon funny, right? But the funny thing to me was Nick Cannon went on this thing about now all of a sudden folks are calling him crazy, right? And this is something that a lot of HOTEPs have kind of like latched onto Nick Cannon now. Like, because let's be like I said, Nick Cannon last year kind of came up on my radar as like somebody who was like a little bit iffy. Like he's moving a little funny in the light, right? So he did the little spoken word last year during the election time where he talked about, people being too broke to vote, right? People not wanting to vote or advocating for them not to vote. Now, he said in an interview with Charlamagne and in the Breakfast Club that he wasn't advocating for anybody to vote. This is what people were telling him. Like, you know, when I'm in the hood, man, when I go to Chicago, when I go to Compton, this is what the people were telling me, that they too broke to vote and all those other things, right? And of course, you guys know what my attitude here at the Spare Report is when it comes to voting. Like, we can't afford not to. We have to be politically engaged. And it's the not voting, which kind of hurts us in the long run because we don't put the people who have our best interests in mind in the places that they need to be, whether that be locally and federally, right? So we can't afford to not be politically engaged, and we can't afford to not be out here doing the things, even at that basic level of voting. You can do the voting and do other things to forward your community, right? But Nick Cannon, he did a spoken word, and he did the hotel, you know, conspiracy theorist kind of thing that he did with that Too Broke to Vote spoken word that he put out last year, right? NBC didn't say shit to him. Didn't do nothing. Nick Cannon was still out here hosting America's Got Talent. Still out here with the jugglers and the singers and the clowns and the little kids who are amazing performers. Still out there doing his thing, right? NBC didn't say shit. So Nick Cannon last year also was on, he was on that Breakfast Club interview where he talked about Hillary Clinton and Planned Parenthood. Let me see if I can pull this up, because I think I got this on SpareReport.com. So let me see if I can pull this up real quick where he talked about that. Hold on just a second. Yeah, here we go, right here. Check this out.
I had the opportunity to actually speak on many different platforms about that, and exactly what happened is what I predicted. I said, y'all, this stuff is already predetermined. It's the lesser of two evils. Picking out which of these candidates is like picking out which gun you wanted to get shot with.
You really thought Trump was had a... he had a chance, but you thought he was going to win?
I didn't... It's the same system. Pick your oppressor. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Like, it's you can't vote your way out of oppression. This is a systemic issue.
Yes, this is a systemic issue. And voting alone won't do it. But voting and political action will do it. So telling folks not to vote is irre-fucking-sponsible. Irresponsible. NBC let him cook on this. That isn't the only thing he said.
But I look at Donald Trump like this, saying that he's trying to reverse Roe versus Wade, a lot of different things.
Hillary was sneaking. She think about all the stuff they did with Planned Parenthood and all of that type of stuff.
Think about all the stuff they did with Planned Parenthood. Hillary was sneaking. Sneaking what? He couldn't even articulate it. Some conspiracy theorist kind of shit, and he's sitting up there with his auntie's, you know, wig on, whatever the fuck that is on his head, the turban, whatever the fuck he got on. He's talking about, matter of fact, let me let him finish.
Take our community and forget gentrification. It's real genocide, and it's been like that for years. This system is not built for us. This is not our land. I appreciate it. I love it. Wouldn't want to live nowhere else, but this wasn't designed for our people.
You know, now, this wasn't designed for our people. This isn't our land. They've been gentrifying us. They've been genociding us. NBC let him cook on that. They wasn't fucking with Nick Cannon. They let him cook on that. He was still the host of America's Got Talent, even after doing that, right? He also did another interview with Vlad TV last year where he talked about Planned Parenthood and it being designed for eugenics and Margaret Sanger being an advocate for eugenics and wiping out the black community and sterilizing black folks, right? He also talked about 75% of the Planned Parenthoods in the country are located in black neighborhoods, right? Or in minority neighborhoods, when in fact, they're mostly in white neighborhoods. 60% of Planned Parenthood locations are located in predominantly white neighborhoods. 60%. That claim is false, right? So, not even get into the falsehood of it, but the thing of it is, the thing that they got Nick Cannon into the special HOTEP unit tonight was the fact that he got on this, he got on his Instagram and he got on the Twitters and he said, funny how when a man stands up for himself, the media fears for his mental health, right? Has anybody reported on Nick Cannon's mental health at all? Can anybody point me to a news article? Anybody point me to a publication where they talked about Nick Cannon's mental capacity, where they talked about his mental capability, where they talked about his mental health at all? Anybody? He also went on Instagram. He talked about, I don't go crazy. I am crazy. I just go normal from time to time. Right? Now, on this article, this is from allblackmedia.com, right? So they were talking about last week, Nick Cannon walked away from America's Got Talent after NBC threatened to terminate him over a racial joke during his stand-up special on Showtime. And ever since, there have been countless conspiracies regarding his mental health. From where? From where? On Friday, most likely after his appearance at the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game, Cannon took to social media to set the record straight, and the real reason has nothing to do with mental health at all. Initially, Cannon laughed at the claim, saying, "Look, y'all, the media thinks I'm going crazy." Pressed further, however, Cannon revealed that he's standing up for himself, and the media fears any man who chooses to do so. Now, the joke that supposedly got Nick Cannon, or was about to get Nick Cannon fired, was, again, I honestly believe once I started doing America's Got Talent, they took my real nigga card. They did. Because then, like, these types of people started showing up to my shows, pointing out to the white audience members, I can't do real nigga stuff no more because they'll put me on TMZ. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, man, but I don't know anybody who was really taking Nick Cannon for, like, this quote-unquote real nigga. Right? For a long time, Nick Cannon was kind of seen as, like, the corny dude, right? And I never called that dude corny. I just, you know, he just wasn't my cup of tea. Like, I never called that dude corny, but a lot of folks would call him corny. A lot of the people that he's gravitating towards now are the same motherfuckers who were calling him corny not even 3 years ago. These same people were calling him corny. Now he's courting their attention, right? Now, I don't know how much motherfucking money NBC was paying Nick Cannon to be the host of America's Got Talent. But what I do know is I'm not about to fuck up my money. I'm not about to fuck up my livelihood to fuck with some people who ain't about to take care of me, who don't really give a fuck about me other than what I can do for them and how I can advance their agenda. And that's what this looks like, man. He's trying to fit into a crowd that never really fucked with him to begin with. That's what it looks like. Nobody's questioning his sanity. Nobody's questioning whether or not Nick Cannon's going crazy. And to be honest, like, you know, like, the powers that be, man, see, Nick Cannon was standing up for himself, man. They trying to put a nigga in the box, man, you know. Like, nah, dog, you can't talk shit about your motherfucking job publicly and think ain't nothing gonna happen to you. That's what that is. It ain't that fucking deep. You can't go on, if somebody's paying you money, good money, to represent them, to be employed by them, you think they're gonna just be like, yo, man, like, what you said was cool? Is that how that works? Hey, anybody in the real motherfucking world, tell me, is that how that works at your job? You going out and letting everybody know your job ain't shit, and then your job find out, you know what they're gonna tell you? Hey, you know you can kind of like go somewhere else, right? So this idea that Nick Cannon is being called crazy, this idea that Nick Cannon was is a martyr, this idea that Nick Cannon has become like this hotep prince, yeah, man, it garners him, it puts him right there in that special hotep unit along with Umar Johnson, who is the Captain Kragen, along with Tariq Nasheed, who is the Detective Tutuola, along with Sara Sutansetti, who would, I'll call him Munch. I think he'd be Munch, right? So, like, it puts him right into that whole little vibe, man. Like, he is trying to ingratiate himself with a group of people who did not fuck with him not too long ago. And that's what's funny to me. And that's why Nick Cannon is looking funny in the light. And that's why Nick Cannon is in the special hotep unit here at the Spare and Port, man. Real talk. But it is not only time for it is time for our segments, man. And of course, with our segments, we got our ass hat of the week, and it's time for that.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And tonight's ass hat of the week is Kyrie Irving, man. Kyrie Irving is our ass hat of the week this week. And the reason why Kyrie Irving is the ass hat of the week this week is, of course, Kyrie Irving kind of came out of the side of his neck and said, yo, like, the earth is flat. The earth is flat, my nigga. Like, and we kind of went through this already. Yeah, right? We kind of went through this with, who was that? Rapper B.O.B. And rapper B.O.B. came out with the whole thing about the earth being flat and everything else, man. And you know, it became a thing, right? And even to the point where Neil deGrasse Tyson had to come out and say something to B.O.B. about this. They even did diss tracks to one another, right? So on a podcast, man, Kyrie Irving came out of the side of his neck and said that that the earth was flat. And he's kind of a little bit, he's a little annoyed with the attention that he's getting for saying what he said. But check this out. Let me see if I can pull this up, because I think I got that clip of Kyrie Irving actually saying these things. Check this out, guys.
Do you believe that the Earth is round?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You believe that Earth is round?
Yes, but I heard the new one that the Earth
There's
is...
no new one.
There is no new one. Okay, I heard some crazy
believe,
one. My
do
boy
you believe that we
today.
Are... Do you believe...
This is gonna sound crazy. Ben Diggles, this is a shout out to you. He came to us and he listens to Super Conspiracy
yes.
Theory Guy.
This is not a conspiracy.
The Earth is flat.
Yeah, no, the Earth is flat.
Oh, God, here we go.
The Earth is flat. Earth is flat. When
you were a trending topic on Twitter today, do you know?
I just found that out.
What's your thoughts on that? I mean, it's an interesting.
I think people should do their own research, man. And then hopefully they'll either back my belief or they'll kind of throw it in the water. I think it's interesting for people to find out.
You've seen pictures of the planet, though, right? Like
yeah.
It's a circle. So
I've seen a lot of things that have my educational system has said that was real and turned out to be completely fake. So, I mean, I don't mind. I don't mind going to Instagram in terms of my thoughts and what I believe.
All right. So he said, you got to do your own research. I've seen a whole lot of things that our educational system tells us is the truth, and it turns out to be false and all these other things. Yeah, man. He said that, right? And so then on top of that, Draymond Green kind of stepped up and almost kind of, he didn't exactly endorse it, but he didn't shut it down either. So Draymond Green has something to say about this also. Check this out.
You know, I was just looking at this. Me and Kyrie at the same seat. That's dope. I'm excited about that.
Do you see this thing that's with him that's kind of circulating that he apparently believes the Earth is flat?
That does not shock me one bit. If you actually get to know Kyrie, he has his opinions on a lot of things. And he's the type of guy that he actually does a lot of research on different things. And so when he says something, it's not like he's just blowing smoke or he's just like what he thinks. He's actually like read up on it and does good research and it's his opinion. And he's one of those guys where he's got to stand strong by what he believes. So I actually did see it. When I saw it, I laughed because it does not shock me one bit that he would think of it.
Okay, so he's read up on it. He's done his own research. Doesn't shock me that Kyrie would say this anything, you know, this sort of thing. Like, he's a really real red dude. Yeah, but yeah, that's foolish, right? And I'm not saying that folks who go out there and do their own research and who actually try to, you know, educate themselves on a certain issue that they are somehow foolish. No, what I'm saying is there are some things that are universal truths. Can we agree on that? See, that's the thing, man. We're living in a time of post. We're living in a post-factual world, man. Well, we can't even agree on some things being just universal truths, like 2 + 2 = 2. I mean, equals 4. Shit. Right? We can't even agree on things like that, where even the most basic of human knowledge, we can't even agree on because, hey, it's got to be some sort of alternative thinking. There's got to be some sort of alternative fact behind that, right? So where even the universal human truths are now in question, right? Everything is within question, right? And so it was weird to not only listen to Kyrie Irving talk about that, but it was also weird to listen to Draymond Green just kind of like second it a little bit. And then on top of that, Kyrie called himself being upset that this was even a story. So He got into an argument with a reporter over whether or not, you know, a reporter who questioned him about this. Check this out.
With the flat earth thing, is that something that you truly believe?
Does it matter?
Yeah.
For what?
Well, I mean,
what's so important about that?
You have millions of fans.
Out of all the podcasts, that's what you took out of it? The flat earth?
You were asked again about
yeah. I mean, the fact that that could be news all over the world just shows you how.
What does it show?
I mean, the fact that it's a social phenomenon that Kyrie thinks the world is flat is hilarious to me.
So here's the thing, man, and this is the thing that's so fucking irritating to me about certain things like this is that, yo, you put something stupid out in the ether, right? You put it out in the earth. You put that out there for people to consume. Then you get upset when the reaction isn't exactly the reaction that you thought you were going to get. So now it's funny. Now you want to mock everybody for reacting to what it was that you said, right? Now you want to act as if everybody's tripping, like this isn't important. And to a large degree, it is a little bit trivial. Let's not even trip on that. But what I'm saying is this, though, is you're trying to act as if people are being distracted by this, as if we can't not only talk shit about you being stupid in this moment and also be conscious of the fact that there's a lot of other bullshit going on in the world, right? That we can't chew gum and walk at the same time, that we can't do two things at once, that we can't pay attention to two things at the same time simultaneously, that we can't acknowledge these things together. And everything's in a vacuum. So you're irritated that these people are actually asking you this. You're irritated that this has been trending, that people have been talking about you because you said something stupid. But he continues.
So again, you have lots and lots of fans, and the fans listen.
So that affects them?
It may.
Oh, okay. I mean, it doesn't really have a relevance over my life. I mean, I just feel like that the fact that it's even a conversation is hilarious. That could actually be news. That's hilarious to me.
So it's hilarious to him, right? Now, I'm not one to say, fuck it. Like, this idea, man, and this is the problem that I have with this. There's a strain of, what Neil deGrasse Tyson would say is a strain of anti-intellectualism that is, permeating throughout the earth, man, where you got a lot of folks who go out of their way to say something stupid and think it's your job to prove them wrong for the stupid shit that they say. No, that's the thing, man. We've gotten to a point where folks actually shun factual fucking information. Universal truths are no longer a thing. Question everything is the motto, I guess. But universal truths are no longer a thing, and so he's irritated with the fact that people are talking about this. And not only that, it just kind of brought me back. It brought me back to when Neil deGrasse Tyson talked about B.O.B. in this exact same issue last fucking year, man. Check this out.
The earth looks flat because, one, you're not far enough away at your size. Two, your size isn't large enough relative to earth to notice any curvature at all. It's a fundamental fact of calculus and non-Euclidean geometry. Small sections of large curved surfaces will always look flat to little creatures that crawl upon it. But this whole thing, it's just a symptom of a larger problem. There's a growing anti-intellectual strain in this country. It may be the beginning of the end of our informed democracy. Of course, in a free society, you can and should think whatever you want. And if you want to think the world is flat, go right ahead. But if you think the world is flat and you have influence over others, as would successful rappers or even presidential candidates, then being wrong becomes being harmful to the health, the wealth, and the security of our citizenry. Discovery and exploration got us out of the caves, and each generation benefits from what previous generations have learned. Isaac Newton, my man, said, If I have seen farther than others, it's by standing on the shoulders of giants. I get an amen. Woo! So that's right, B.O.B. When you stand on the shoulders of those who came before, you might just see far enough to realize the earth isn't flat. And by the way, this is called gravity.
All right. So we dealt with this issue before, man. And unfortunately, Kyrie Irving, despite evidence to the contrary, still believes that the world is flat, right? Doesn't have it. I mean, whatever. But it earned him the ass hat of the week this week here at the Spare Report, man. And his attitude more than, that's the thing. The attitude about it is what earned him that. Like, him actually saying, I thought these motherfuckers was joking. Like, I was like, yo, these dudes can't be serious. I think they're joking, but nah. He sounded really motherfucking sincere, man. So, yeah, the attitude is what got Kyrie Irving the ass hat of the week here at the Spirit Report this week. But then we don't only have an ass hat. We do have the champ of the week this week as well.
The champ is here!
right. Today's champ of the week this week here at the Spare Report Podcast is Larry Wilmore. Now, Larry Wilmore, of course, you guys may know Larry Wilmore. He's formerly of The Nightly Show over on Comedy Central. He's also one of the writers on, and I believe he's a producer on the show Black-ish. He was a writer for The Bernie Mac Show, man. Really accomplished dude. And Larry Wilmore was on an episode of Real Time with Bill Maher this week. And Bill Maher was embroiled in a bit of a controversy because of the choice that he made to have conservative troll Milo Yiannopoulos on his show, right? And so a lot of people are not fucking with Bill behind not only that, but because of his attitude towards Islamophobia, because of his attitude towards this idea of the identity politics getting in the way, right? And Larry Wilmore was on there with Yiannopoulos and with, I think his name's Malcolm Nance. Was it Malcolm Nance? And I forget the other guy. He was a Trump fucking supporter, so fuck him. But they were on there. They were on the. They were doing the overtime segment of the Real Time with Bill Maher show. And Larry Wilmore took the time to stand up for not only the rights of the trans community, but of Leslie Jones, who is not only a friend of Larry Wilmore, but was a victim of a hell of a lot of trolling on behalf or in part because of Milo Yiannopoulos and his minions. So let's take a look at what Larry Wilmore had to say about Milo and what it was that he did over the course of these last few months. Check this out. I think I got this video pulled up. Here we go.
The no, position in the world. No, I'm you know, not. I mean, I've been to Port Said in Naples, and you look like you've been there a few times. But because you seem to be very confused
you're
about who you are and what you are.
You're the one pulling your wallet out, sweetheart.
Yeah, that's all right, shipmate.
Oh. No, I'm okay. See, do you always have to fight with everybody?
Can't don't. You just, we were having such a nice time, but you always invite such awful people on your show.
These are not.
They're so stupid.
Look at.
No, come on. You need to start inviting higher IQ guests, or this
I'm
is going to be a disaster.
First of all, wait.
These are very high.
Wait, hold on, Bill. You can go fuck yourself, all right?
Yeah.
Okay. If this is the face
if
of the
your
Nazis,
argument is that these people are stupid, you didn't hear a word this man said early in this segment because he can talk circles around your pathetic,
this guy.
Douchey little ass for no reason. One last thing, and I'll let you defend it. Leslie Jones is not barely literate. Go fuck yourself again for that
one. Rita Tracy, she can barely spell.
She's a respectful person and very
woman,
funny.
No, go ahead, excuse me. Okay. She can barely spell.
Larry, I'm a great fan of yours, man.
All right. So, man, look. Again, man, when we talk about the attitudes, man, and some of these opinions, man, and being tolerable of the intolerant, we don't have to be. We don't have to be. And in that moment, Larry Wilmore was like, yo, man, fuck you, dude. Fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. Get the fuck out of here. Like, people do not have to accept every fucking frame of thought, man. Everything isn't acceptable. Everything isn't, everything doesn't need defending. Like, everything doesn't stand to be defended. Like, as much as folks will talk about, you know, we have to have free speech and all this other shit, like, yo, yeah, you can have free speech, but also recognize that there are consequences behind the speech that you spout. Recognize that there's going to be a reaction to the things that you say. And people don't have to respectfully take in the things that you say. They don't have to do it. And so shout out to Larry Wilmore, man, for taking that opportunity, because again, this is a controversial episode. A lot of folks pissed off at Bill Maher, rightfully so, because of what he did when it comes to inviting not only Milo Yiannopoulos on his show, but Tommy Lauren on the show as well, man. Like, giving these sorts of assholes the platform of his show to kind of normalize their line of thinking. Fuck them. Fuck them. People don't have to accept that sort of shit. They just don't. So, yeah, man. Larry Wilmore, champ of the week this week here at the Spare Report Podcast, man. Real talk. But, it is time for us to get up out of here. It is 8:51. We are cutting this close, man. Real talk. But before I get out of here, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us here at the Spirit Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard, man. Hit that hotline up. Area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show and respond in kind. And when I open up those phone lines, you guys can call into the show and you can chop it up with me while we're doing the show live. You can also email me at feedback@thespiritreport.com. That's feedback@thespiritreport.com. Leave me those emails, and of course I'll read those emails here live on the show and respond in kind. You can also hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So chop it up with me throughout the week and we can chop it up about whatever it is you want to talk about, right? And when I'm ranting and all that other stuff, right? So go ahead and do that, man. Go ahead and chop it up with me on Twitter and Instagram, and my name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. Subscribe to the show on YouTube, man. The Span Report, Span TV, both of them work. Go ahead and subscribe to the show. Watch the show live. Participate in the chat room. Call the show live while we're doing it. You can do all of that right there on YouTube, man. Go ahead and subscribe to the show on YouTube at The Span Report. And for all of your Span Report needs, man, go to www.thespanreport.com. Everything's available there. The Span Report podcast on video, on audio, all the videos, polls, leave comments, donate to the show if you'd like. Everything's available there at the Span Report podcast, man, at thespanreport.com, man. So, yeah, go there for all of your Span Report needs, man. Real talk. But it is time for me to get out of here. The real The Walking Dead comes on in about 8 minutes. So, yeah, man, I got to get out of here. But until next time, fam, peace.